Coming up on today's show.
I had been in a coma for 4 days. My body had went into cardiogenic shock. My organs were shutting down. I had a blockage in my left descending artery, the widowmaker, the worst, the worst.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. Every week, I always mention that there are links on the website to four social media platforms, but I wonder if you are actually following on one or more of those. Remember, too, about the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. I usually try to post a picture in there that doesn't get published anywhere else, in addition to asking members of the group for input on certain things, or sometimes I just share what I feel are interesting posts. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally, though. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I really do love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Old habits die hard. It's why, for example, there are specialty coaches in sports. A pitching coach will work one-on-one to get a pitcher to change something about their mechanics, to see more accuracy, more strikes, perhaps better control, if, that is, the pitcher heeds those instructions. When, say, a college football player enters the NFL, their position coach will study film from what that athlete did in college, and then work with them on changes that need to be made in order for them to execute at the pro level. With the Masters having recently taken place, we can look at golfers and how a swing coach will refine the technique that a PGA player has so that there's potential for more success and thus lower scores. All this advice is great, but as I said with the baseball pitcher, it's predicated on the athlete putting these modifications into regular practice and not falling back on their old ways. Similarly, in our faith life, if we just read the Bible and or if we go to church, but in either case, we're not carrying out God's word, we're kidding ourselves if we think those practices are automatically resulting in moving us to seek our Heavenly Father when, in fact, there likely is no change, no improvement in our quest to strive for holiness. In the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest won 8 consecutive state championships and 9 overall as the volleyball coach at Marysville High School in Michigan, where he had 3 consecutive undefeated seasons, registering 192 straight wins. He won 20 consecutive district and regional championships, and over 10 seasons had an amazing one-loss record of 584-9. In 2015, he was inducted into the National High School Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame. He coached 3 sports for 27 consecutive years at Marysville, and altogether, he coached football, girls basketball, boys basketball, track and field, and volleyball. He is the author of a book called Coaching 100 Days with Jesus. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Knuth.
Bruce, thank you very much, and you're doing a great ministry here, so keep up the good work.
Thank you, John. I do appreciate that. From everything I just read, it would seem as though you have been a lifelong resident of Michigan. Is that, in fact, the state where you were born and raised? Share with us what city you grew up in, as well as what the family size was and where you fell among the Knuth children.
Well, I haven't led too exciting of a life. I came home from the hospital to Marysville, Michigan, and except for a few years going away to college, I came right back and got a job in Marysville, raised a family in Marysville. I already have my gravesite picked out in Marysville, so pretty much have been there my whole time. I have an older brother and sister, and it's been a wonderful life. I'm certainly have been blessed.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm thinking you're going to tell me this was a Catholic household you grew up in. In other words, you're not a convert to the faith.
My mom was actually born in France and came here as a child. And my grandmother lived right down the street because of the automobile industry. The family ended up in Marysville. It had an automobile plant that was part of the Detroit thing that was going on with manufacturing at that time period. And my grandmother had strong faith. My grandpa on that side of the family was actually a prisoner of war. And one of the few things that we have is a diary of his just tremendous faith he had in the Lord. So that has had an impact, even though I've never met him. My mom, her faith certainly had an influence on me, and it was more by example. You know, we see scripture during Holy Week of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, and he's modeling behavior. And I would say that was my mom. Sometimes when things weren't going well with her family or our lives, I would walk by her bedroom, and there she would be on her knees. Praying the rosary, and it just had a big influence in taking us and making sure that we went to Mass every week and praying before meals and so forth. Again, it wasn't her lecturing. It was by modeling the proper faith that we should have in loving the Lord.
We heard in the intro all the sports you ended up coaching, but what about participation-wise? What sports were you playing as you were growing up, and who got you interested in competing in sports?
Well, sports played a big influence in my life. My father died of a heart attack when I was 7 years old.
Mm.
And as I understand, he was a pretty good athlete. I don't have that many memories of him, but sports became something that I gravitated to, and a male role model in my life were provided by coaches. So I played football and played running back and captained the basketball team and ran some track, and I was involved any way, shape, or form, and I just kind of gravitated towards that when I went away to school to be a school teacher. I knew I wanted to get into coaching, and so I spent a great deal of my life doing that.
Well, talk about those years. What did your college life look like? Meaning, where did you attend college? What was your major? Were you playing any sports in college? And of course, how was your faith life in your college years too?
Yes, I did not play in college. Wasn't really big enough to do that. You know, if I look at my, and I going back to my mom and modeling and her providing those basics of a good faith life, I am so thankful for. I sinned a great deal through my college years, and typical drinking, carousing, all of those things. But even through all my sinfulness, I went to Mass every Sunday at Central Michigan University. I can remember walking across campus on a Sunday morning with a hangover, and I kept the faith, and I had the faith, and God kept loving me through it. And obviously those years are long ago and they passed, but I did go through that, which a lot of young people do. But as we know, many of them don't stay with going to church or their relationship with the Lord, but somehow God kept me close enough, and I was able to make it through those years.
Yeah, not to mention that I think I picked up earlier that you had mentioned going away to college. So forgive my ignorance. I don't know where Central Michigan is, not to mention in relation to Marysville, but it sounded like this was away and you lived on campus.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours from my home. So, yes. Yep. And that was really the only time that I've been significantly away from Marysville as far as living.
But at the same time, what I'm keying on there is the fact that, yes, there are all these temptations that happen when students go away to college, and the things that you mentioned, but also just the fact of I'm not under mom, or I'm not under dad, or I'm not under mom and dad's watchful eye anymore. And so there is this temptation of Satan saying, you don't need to go to church. Your parents aren't here. They're not going to know. If they ask you, just lie and tell them that you went. And so it was that foundation that your mother had set that, as you said, you might have been hungover, but God bless you that you still managed to go to Mass anyways, even in that state, and just knowing that that's what you do.
Yes. I attribute my mom to that. And, you know, I look around at friends, you know, and they might not have came through the college experience in the same way that I was blessed to be able to do that. And obviously, I didn't do it. You know, it's God watching over me, but that free will thing kicks in, and somehow my free will told me that I need to stay close to the Lord, even through this sinful behavior. And like you said, you know, evil spirits out there prowling around, and somehow I got through that. But I'm fighting the evil spirit every single day, like we all are.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into all the coaching that you did. Clearly, you have a servant's heart. When did you find coaching to be your calling? But then also talk about the relationships, which I think you're going to tell us are so much more than teaching mechanics of sport.
Yeah, I'm no longer coaching, but that's the only thing I really miss about it extensively is those relationships. But I'm able to still have those. I mean, player that I coach, she'll have a baby and she'll give me a call, or a past football player. I'll see him at the grocery store and he'll come up and say, hey, when I played ninth grade football for you, that was the best experience of my athletic career. So, you know, relationships don't go away. And sports had, again, such an influence on me, and the coaches that I had in my life. I wanted to give back. I wanted to provide that kind of guidance for young people and teach life lessons. So I coached football for 25 years. I was on a varsity program that part of a program that won a couple state championships in Michigan. So I coached boys basketball and girls basketball, and I was coaching all the time, and it was something that I wanted to do, and it was an important part of my life.
Yeah, and I think what you're telling us is that when you are still to this day hearing from former players, they're not inviting you to their wedding. They're not calling you about their new baby because of a great tackling technique that you taught them or how to serve better in volleyball. They're calling you because of, as you said, the life lessons that you instilled upon them.
Very true. I would take a look at even my own athletic career. I can remember being a running back and standing in a line waiting for contact drills, and I know my part was coming up where I'm going to have to run and I'm going to be tackled, and then I have to get back in line, and the running back line was always a lot shorter than the lineman line, and so you'd had more contact. But I always learned that you have to suck it up, and I use that in my life right now. If I have to go to the dentist and I've got to get a tooth drilled, I'm outside there. And I have the same exact feelings as I did standing in that line, waiting to get tackled or doing wind sprints at the end of basketball practice or whatever it happened to be. So they're a great way to learn life lessons. And athletics, you know, more people lose their job because they can't get along with others in the workplace than probably any other thing. Economic turndown, we don't have that. So there's jobs right now. And why do people lose their job? Because they can't get along with others in the workplace. Mm. Where is that being taught in our society today? Very few places. Maybe joining a band or some other organization. But athletics is such a great avenue to provide that life lesson of the team is more important than yourself. And, you know, and the biggest thing that's hurting that in our society is parents. Parents are really putting a lot of pressure on coaches, especially young coaches, and it's all about their own child, and they don't understand at the end they can have a child that learns a beautiful life experience, and maybe they spend a little time on the bench or they're not the star player, but they can be part of a team, and the children will learn that if they're given an opportunity.
And folks, brace yourselves, because there was something quite extreme that John went through, and this is going to be one of those moments where you're going to throw your arms up in the air and you're going to say, why do bad things happen to good people? John had coached his final season at Marysville, but returned to the program as a co-coach until... I will have him share that story with us and the way that it also impacted his faith life. But first, John and I will have recorded this interview well before the April 14th deadline that I've been mentioning in terms of when the price increases for me to possibly attend the National Religious Broadcasters Convention next month in Orlando. So even though this episode is coming out after the registration fee will have increased by $100, I won't have an update for you on this episode as to whether any donations came in to help make it possible for me to afford paying that. This show has been going every week for more than 4 years now, but I'm blessed that there are still people who are just discovering it for the first time. If that's you and you're wondering why I'm talking about trying to raise money to attend the NRB convention, it's because this is a ministry for me, and not only is Catholic Sports Radio just a one-person operation, but I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. This is something I do because I felt God call me to it. Although what that all means is that I have to try to some way out of my own pocket, gulp, take on all the expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. There have been guests and listeners who have made a financial gift to this ministry, which certainly helps, although those darn bills keep coming in anyway. What's most important here is that you find value in what I'm doing through this ministry, meaning it's helping you in your faith life. You're finding benefit in this show, the guest interviews, the prayers, maybe the ministry moment, heck, maybe even the social media posts that I do. Anyhow, if you do like what I do and would like to help support my mission to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports, I invite you to use the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, that method is easy, and that method is very secure, not to mention that it gives you the flexibility of being able to type in whatever amount you feel comfortable with. In other words, there are no preset amounts to have to choose from. Alternatively, since some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, understandably, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. With your permission, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or through the mail, or as some have asked me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. It would mean so much to me if, as part of your continued tithing, you would consider helping me tackle the various costs that I face. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to this show, telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. John, as I led into all that, I alluded to something quite extreme that you went through. Share with the audience about what that was, as well as I had started to mention, the impact that it had on your faith life.
Well, it was October 1st, 2011, and I was coaching in a volleyball tournament in the Flint, Michigan area, which is about an hour and a half from my home. And it was a Saturday morning, and I had a heart attack. I knew I had a heart attack. Pain radiating down my left arm. I was sweating profusely. Felt like an elephant on my chest. But trying to be a good coach, I actually stuck the game out.
Oh, my gosh.
Turned to my assistant coach and said, hey, call 911. I'm having a heart attack. Get the players away from me. I didn't want them to watch their coach die.
Mm.
And I walked out of the school. And I don't know with the listeners whether they believe this is coincidence or God sent. I kind of know how I feel. But anyway, a guy that I go deer hunting with sent an email to a bunch of us, big group, and what to do in case you have a heart attack. And so somehow that popped in my head.
Wow.
I asked anybody if they had an aspirin. Somebody did. They gave it to me. I chewed it, put it underneath my tongue. A couple nurses that were there watching the game came out, and they said, hey, honey, lay down. I said, no, I'm supposed to stay sitting up. Well, then a county police officer came in, and Kevin Simmons was his name. He got out of the car, didn't know him, of course, and he began administering first aid, and the ambulance was taking a long time to get there. And I finally got there. I didn't have a lot of confidence, so I asked Officer Simmons if he would stay with me, and he said he would, and he got in the ambulance, and we're driving down the road. And again, an area I didn't know, and the guy that's driving says, well, let's take him to this cath center. And the guy that's back with me says, no, he's not going to make it. We need to get him to the nearest hospital.
Mm.
And when I heard that, I began praying John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I kept repeating it and repeating it, and a peace and calm came over me.
Wow.
I was rushed into Hurley Hospital, which is a trauma hospital in Flint, Michigan. And I grabbed one of the nurses and I said, call my wife, tell her I love her, tell her everything's going to be okay, tell her to drive safely. She wasn't with me.
Mm.
And when I came to, I saw my wife and I said, geez, what time is it? And she says, well, first of all, it's Tuesday. I had been in a coma for 4 days. My body had went into cardiogenic shock. My organs were shutting down. I had a blockage in my left descending artery, the widowmaker, the worst of the worst. They took and they put a stent in to create reflow. It didn't work, so they put another one in, and another one, another one, another one, another one. They put 5 stents in my left descending artery, and none of them worked. And left me with heart failure. But through a few operations and so forth, I'm back this morning. I ran a couple miles before this interview, so I'm golfing. I've returned, but I'm still living with an ejection fraction that makes it I'm diagnosed with as heart failure. And my wife was told several times that I probably wasn't going to make it, but my wife told me that people were praying for me. And there was a woman at our church. My wife and I had never met. We saw her at church with her family. And she got my wife's phone number when I was in a coma and called my wife. And she said, I've been praying for your husband, and he is going to be okay. And my wife says, what? Well, how do you know that? She said, I'm just telling you, I was praying so hard. And she said, this verse came to me, and it's Psalm 118:17. He will not die, but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. And that became the motto for my life. I did not die, and I'll proclaim what the Lord has done. And when I got recovered, I thought I was athletic director at the time, coaching, and I thought I was going to return back to my job, but my heart would not allow me to do that. I've had a couple operations at Cleveland Clinic and a few other places to get back to where I am today. But at that point, I couldn't go back to work. So my routine switched, and I went to daily mass. And at daily mass was this lady, and her name was Carrie Edwards, who called my wife, and she became a very good friend of mine. And I look at that Bible, and I think, how out of that big, thick Bible did that little tiny verse ever come to her? And Carrie was diagnosed with cancer. And a short time period, she had a beautiful husband, two little children. And at 40 years of age, she passed away. And her message was always, in every email that she ended or every conversation, she would always say, keep looking up. And I use that now, too. So,
oh, John, wow. Wow, as powerful as your testimony is, and we see, as you mentioned so accurately, one verse out of that entire Bible. But at the same time, John, I wish you would have given me a heads up. I'm getting all choked up. Come on, audience. Don't leave me alone here. Don't let me be the only one that's welling up with tears in their eyes. Here's John, who I know he's alive and I know he's well because we spoke and booked the interview, and yet I'm welling up with tears as you're telling your story, and I didn't know that it was going to end the way that you did as it relates to her. But my gosh, God bless you for everything that you've gone through, but praise God that you are here to share that testimony and to touch others with it. And wow, just, I need a minute.
Well, you know, one thing I'd like to say, you know, John 3:16 is very common. We see it at sporting events, you know, somebody's kicking a field goal, or at the Masters, somebody holding the background or whatever.
Yeah.
But John 3:16, I just made this vow that if I go in to a prison ministry, or if I speak, or religious education, or wherever it happens to be, I always start out with covering and speaking about John 3:16. And if I'm walking, I'm vacationed this winter in Florida, if I'm walking down the beach, I'll take a moment and carve out John 3:16 in the sand. I have a sign I put out every Sunday, John 3:16. I have a little moped at home, and I got a John 3:16 license plate. That's part of the thing that I'm so fortunate that I had that verse memorized and spoke to God about that. And again, I know other people, you hear this, but this peace and calm that came over me, I hear people do it. And when I say that, and I can shake my head because I've been blessed enough to experience it. And I think it's a direct correlation to me praying John 3:16, because obviously, as you know, if you know everything about the Bible, John 3:16 is a good place to go. And if you know nothing about it, it's a good place to go.
Well said, well said. And in sports, they always want to give people nicknames. So yours is going to be John 3:16 Knuth. How's that?
That sounds perfect.
Back in the intro, I mentioned that you wrote a book called Coaching 100 Days with Jesus. Tell us about that.
Well, again, I was very active. I was working 14-hour days, and you know, with all the sports people out there know what goes into an athletic director's job and coaching and so forth. So I was very active, and I was running every day. I've ran some marathons. I was healthy. I taught health. So it was a shock that this happened to me. So with this active life, and all of a sudden I was staring at the walls in recovery, and I could hardly walk down the street. And so I thought, what am I going to do? And people said, you should write a book. You should write a book, you know. So I wrote a little children's book And they were surprised at that, and I kind of self-published it, a little thing. But and then I thought, well, it kind of got me going, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to write a coaching book. So I wrote a devotional, 100 days, a normal athletic season, no matter what level, it's about 100 days, you know, 3 months. And so that's what I came up with that. And so I wrote a scripture into each day and then told a coaching story that pertains to that scripture and some kind of life lesson with that. So it, the book is the best part about it is the scripture in it. But with that, I've did some speaking and my speaking, I always talk about persistent quest for excellence and go over some intangibles that have to do with the business world or life in general. But it ends up with, along with my testimony, that to be in persistent quest of excellence really means to be in persistent quest for God.
And there's something else that you're doing in terms of evangelization. Even though we established your lengthy residence in Michigan, you actually spend some time down here in Florida, but not just vacationing. Share with the audience about what you do for the Catholic faith about 2.5 hours south of me.
Yeah, I come down every year. I have for the last 8 years to St. Leo the Great in Bonita Springs and do a confirmation retreat. And I'm doing other things. I do a prison and jail ministry. I go in, do a communion service at a state prison, and a few things that I never would have done before because I was spending all my time in that other world. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's another way of reaching, but those were taken away from me, and so I filled it with different things.
Wow. John, I always like to close by asking the guest about the time that they've spent in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as about the family that they and their spouse have made. Would you share those details with us, if you don't mind?
Well, my wife has had such a big influence on my life. She was born and raised Baptist and has such a strong relationship with the Bible and brought that to our relationship. And as we went through the courting process and early on, I went to the Baptist church a few times with her, and she would go to the Catholic church with me a few times. And she fell in love with the Catholic faith and went through all the things to become a Catholic and was baptized into the Catholic Church. And so anyway, but she has such a strong faith and provides a little different perspective, not being a cradle Catholic, that has really strengthened my faith also.
And how long have the two of you been married?
28 years.
Outstanding. Oh, John, so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Bruce, and all you do. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And folks, as a nod to all the many, many years that John spent in coaching, let's close this week's episode with a prayer for coaches and do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, we all want to win. Above the desire to win, teach us to remember our victories toward godly living as we learn to obey you and your word daily. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.